Mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances, giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to work today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
News. I'm Lou Malieno. Shutting them down, apparently just too many have died. Late word from West Virginia, where Governor Joe Manchin has ordered all mines in the state to cease production until safety checks can be conducted. Two more miners died in separate accidents today. This following the deaths of 12 miners at the Sago mine early last month. Have the friendly skies become a bit leaner and meaner? United Airlines, at least, has become leaner and more cost-efficient. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr as United leads. Five more prosecution witnesses took the stand today in the trial of Saddam Hussein and four co-defendants, including a woman who says Saddam's security forces arrested and tortured her in prison. But neither the defendants nor their attorneys heard any of it. They all boycotted today's four-and-a-half-hour session. It resumes tomorrow, with or without them. The Southern California circle of death appears to be widening. Santa Barbara County Sheriff's officials say a sixth victim in the shooting spree at a mail processing plant has died, and the body of a former neighbor of the killer has been found in a condo complex where Jennifer San Marco once lived. San Marco killed herself at the postal facility. Officials are trying to determine whether she's responsible for the neighbor's murder. From body creams to the bellies of puppies, the Drug Enforcement Administration today announces the arrest of 22 Colombian nationals to be charged with smuggling over 20 kilos of heroin into the U.S. Special Agent in Charge John McBride says body creams and aerosol cans were used, as well as the bodies of puppies. This is CBS News.
What? Come on.
Mammoth Car Insurance Company.
Yes, I was just on your website
trying to... Please visit us online
at On Progressive Direct's website, you can talk to a person, not a recording. When you're getting a car insurance quote at Progressive.com, you can click on the Talk to Me button, and we'll call you right then to help finish your quote or answer your questions. So get a quote the easy way at Progressive.com. Available in most states and situations. Progressive Healthcare Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio.
Why do energy drinks make you crash? I'm Dr. James Bragman, host of Prescription for Health. The answer is large amounts of sugar and caffeine. That's why I recommend 5-Hour Energy. It gives you hours of energy without the crash. 5-Hour Energy contains B vitamins, enzymes, and amino acids. Zero sugar and just enough caffeine. So if your energy drink makes you crash, then switch to 5-Hour Energy. Hours of energy now, no crash later.
Go straight to your nearest Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, GNC, or 7-Eleven now for 5-Hour Energy.
Does the old voice go in one ear and out the other? CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein says the U.S. Capitol has a cure.
Washingtonians have gotten so used to the gentle voice on the subway system that people don't pay attention to the warnings anymore. So metro officials held a contest.
The doors are opening.
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 And the winner is Randy Miller, a lease manager at a Virginia car dealership.
The doors are opening. Please stand back so customers may exit the train. When boarding, please move to the center of the car.
She gets no money for her work, but plenty of recognition. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Roman Catholic Diocese of Spokane has filed for Chapter 11. They say it's from the sex abuse claims of 75 people. Not clear whether the Chapter 11 will mean the church won't have to pay out the $45 million it's offered the victims, or paying it out is what drove it into bankruptcy. I'm Lou Malieno, CBS News.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
What about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
Know the greatest phrase ever invented in shopping? No, it's not "I'll just wait in the car." The greatest phrase is "no thanks, I'm just looking." I mean, what freedom, what liberation, what a great way to buy car insurance. In fact, why not do some looking right now? Go to Geico.com. It's quick, it's easy, and you could save hundreds. You know, saving money looks good on you. Geico.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show up and down the left coast. I am your humble host, Peter B. In recovery mode, I want to thank Matt Renner for sitting in here yesterday. Listen to this tune. It's John Trudell.
Welcome to Graffiti Land. All the rides are in your head. The ticket is what is thought and what is said. Our attitudes are climbing. We don't have time for more mind-wasting lies. Whatever it is you're doing, we're not going to buy it. It's time to say something, not a time to be quiet. Rant and roll, hearts beat from the spirit. Say it loud so everyone can hear it. Say what you mean what you say. Rant and roll when you feel that way.
Yes, it's a day for expression, and I encourage you to rant and roll with us on the Peter B. Collins program, live until 6 o'clock this afternoon. And we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the marketing efforts of the Bush administration, presented last night in the State of the Union message. There's a lot to criticize, and we're going to do it. Congressman Sam Farr, the Democrat from the Central Coast, Carmel is his base. He'll be joining us in just a few minutes. We're going to talk to Perry Jeffries, one of the Iraqi war vets from OperationTruth.org. We're going to open up the phones to hear from you. We've got some smack in the face from Keith Olbermann to Bill O'Reilly for a little entertainment. And another example of Chris Matthews kissing up to President Bush again. We're going to get an analysis of the president's proposals from Lee Price, the research director at the Economic Policy Institute. And we'll also spend our weekly half hour with Larissa Alexandrovna, the investigative reporter from RawStory.com. That's all ahead here on the PBC show. Your calls are welcome, even right now, if you want to talk about the State of the Union message. My lines are open at 1-831. I guess you don't need to dial the 1 if you're on the Central Coast. 831 if you're on the Central Coast. 831-899-5792. Toll free from Eureka or anywhere else. It's 1-888-579-2540. And you might be able to hear it in my voice and my nose. I'm recovering from the cold cough thing that's going around. I want to thank Matt for an able job sitting in yesterday on the program. And based on friends and colleagues, in another 2 weeks, I'll be back to normal. But last night I was sipping medicinal scotch and watching Bush on the big screen. And all I could do is sometimes shake my head and, of course, sometimes yell back at the man on the boob tube. Of course, the sideshow was that Cindy Sheehan got roughed up and ejected. She was not arrested, but they did ask her to leave the chamber during the speech when they discovered she was wearing it. So just interesting standards there. And it was, sorry about that. In the first half of the speech, what I noticed was he used a lot of applause lines that have been trotted out recently, probably written by Karl Rove. The real simplistic stuff about how he is protecting us by running the massive spy program at the NSA. And the platitudes about freedom. The New York Times did a word count, and in last night's speech, let's see, the word freedom was used 17 times, Iraq was mentioned 16 times, terrorism 17 times in Iraq, but he didn't tell us
anything about how we are going to achieve that. Every step toward freedom in the world makes our country safer, he said. He set up a straw dog that those who recognize the mess in Iraq are somehow isolationists and they want to retreat. And he used that argument in several paragraphs of the speech. John Murtha should have been up there delivering the Democratic response to the State of the Union message. We're going to take a quick break and then hook up with Congressman Sam Farr in Washington, D.C. We'll get his response to the speech last night. And you're welcome to call the program with your questions or comments. 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay Area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications. Deadlines are overlooked. And ultimately, it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources is an IRA distribution specialist. Other than your home, your retirement plan is probably the largest investment you have. And you have a choice. You can pass it on to your beneficiaries as a legacy, or it can be left as an IOU to Uncle Sam. Chaos can lead to confusion. Most financial advisors cannot help or answer such questions like, why should my IRA not be in my trust? Should there be a separate IRA for each beneficiary? Is there a way to set up a multi-generation stretch IRA? Michelle Ashen, a certified estate planner and IRA distribution expert, is offering a 30-minute free consultation, which will resolve these issues and explain how to undo the mistakes you may have already made. Meet with Michelle to create a plan that will preserve and protect your life savings and distribute them in the most tax-advantaged way. Call today, won't you? 641-0236. That's 831-641-0236.
Galante Vineyards cordially invites you to their free wine futures open house from 1 to 5 p.m. on February 4th. Sample their upcoming wines directly from the barrel. Secure your future in Galante's fabulous wines and save 20%. The winery is located at 18181 Kachawa Road, just a short drive from Carmel Valley Village. RSVP at 1-800-GALANTE or just stop by and say hi. For complete directions, more information on the open house, or to read about Galante Vineyards, visit the web at galantevineyards.com.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz, live on KGOE, Eureka, Arcata, and Humboldt County. We're joined now by Democratic Congressman Sam Farr from the Monterey Carmel area. Congressman, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you very much, Peter. It's great to be on your show again. Your ears must have been burning last night at the State of the Union address. I was down in the media center in Statuary Hall where they set up this sort of every network in the country, and Bill Press was there, and we were talking about you.
Oh, really? Well, that's nice. Bill's doing a great job, and he's on KRXA here in Monterey. Live, but it airs East Coast drive time, which is 3 to 6 a.m. on the Pacific.
It is very, very early in the morning.
But he's doing a great job, and thanks for bringing his regards. For me, there was only one bright spot in the speech, and that was when the president almost admitted a failure. He said, Congress did not act last year on my proposal to save Social Security. And before he could jump to the next line, you and your colleagues on the Democratic side of the aisle jumped up and applauded that remark, and certainly delivered a little payback there.
Well, we seized the moment, and it was a total surprise. It was spontaneity, even though you have the speech, you don't. And I think what he gave us the opportunity was that he paused. And whoever wrote that speech and put that comma there, I think regrets it now, because he didn't get to finish his sentence, and we were able to applaud the first part of it. And and as you say, it got a laugh, and it also...
Well, it underscored that Democrats did actually push back on a very bad set of proposals from the president last year, and the manner, of course, in which he did it. He never actually submitted legislation. He wanted to play a game with the Congress.
One, if he couldn't propose anything that couldn't be thoroughly criticized, so his strategy was just to keep the issue open. And he's back. I mean, there is that we know we're going to have problems. That's not the issue. But to suggest that you destroy Social Security when there are better options, and options which everybody agrees requires a tax increase. And due to the tax increase, it's to people whose incomes are whose wages are over $90,000 a year, because we cut off the Social Security tax after $90,000. So the Bill Gateses of the world, they don't have to pay.
That's not true, because those phone calls weren't even translated for a couple of days. And we know that earlier intelligence information was not acted upon, including the presidential daily brief of August 6th of 2001.
Well, you saw, and I don't know if you could hear it, but there was some... you know, snickering at all those remarks. But I think the speech, it was a sort of this lofty speech. It was written well in a sense, but and he delivered it well. But, you know, you get down to it, the question is, where's the beef? And I think in Washington, we're smart enough to look for that. Where are you implementing? What's new? What's going to be able to change? How are you really going to solve these problems? And I think even across the Republicans couldn't stand up as they went into Statuary Hall and started defending the president's speech by saying that there was a lot there. I think it's he's trapped. He's trapped by his own constraints on his budgetary process, where he's cut revenues and cut programs, and he doesn't want to turn that around. So he's got to cut more, and then he's caught by his political decisions, his decisions to go to war in Iraq, even though it was very controversial, and trying to say steady the course, everything's rosy in America, and if we just have people save a little more money and earmark that for medical savings accounts, all our medical problems will be solved. This is not true. There's nobody, you know, Natividad Hospital isn't going to be saved by medical savings accounts. The Medicare payments to Santa Cruz and Monterey doctors, which are some of the lowest in the nation, aren't going to be saved by health savings accounts. So it's where's the beef? Where's the rubber hit the road here? And I think most local government folks listening to that and governors around the country would say, this: I don't see anything in here that helps me.
Again, the president touted tax cuts as the bromide for almost everything, and this was a stupendous statement. I urge the Congress to act responsibly and make the tax cuts permanent. Now, how responsible is it to extend tax cuts when you don't know what the revenue stream will be going forward. That is the height of irresponsibility. And to position tax cuts as responsible is just untrue.
Well, you're exactly right. And the other thing is that the politics therefore aren't there. This is a promise made by this president because his father, read my lips, I won't increase taxes, when he got into a financial situation that required new revenues, he went out and raised revenues and was defeated in part because of that. And the Republicans were so angry that, and I think this president, he learned from his mistakes of his father, and he won't even when he's wrong admit that he's wrong. And this tax cut is one of them. It is going to bankrupt the nation. He today supported, you know what he talked about, they passed the reconciliation bill, which cuts $12 billion out of student loans. It cuts $6.5 billion out of Medicare. It cuts $2.5 billion out of child support enforcement and other safety programs. That vote was just taken on the House floor. There wasn't a single Democratic vote. Several Republicans crossed over to vote with Democrats. When the 15 minutes was up, which is given, we'd won by one vote, but they didn't announce the vote until they'd broken a few arms and gotten two votes and passed 2-6 cut. There's No Child Left Behind, which is a lofty program, but there's no investment in it. So it can't be, it's mandated in law, the schools have to carry it out, but they can't meet the requirements because they don't have any money.
Well, and similarly, sir, the Help America Vote Act is causing problems in over 40 states where they're trapped between the federal legislation and their inability to certify these new voting systems. A listener asked me to ask you, and I think it's a fair question, is Congress prepared to modify or suspend HAVA given its failure in the immediate future?
No, what they'll do is listen to states who want more money or telling what they can do, and there may be some, I doubt that it's going to be tinkered with in an election year. They're allowing the states to carry it out. We don't have a national voting system in America. We leave it up to each of the 50 states to decide how to do it based on certain federal criteria. What the states, how the states do voter registration, how many, you know, how they have to vote at the voting place, whether they use machines or mail ballot or paper ballots is up to the states. And in some states like California, it's up to each of the 58 counties. So you get into, total confusion
right
on voting. And we saw that in Ohio where, the conservative districts, Republican districts, had expedited voting, and then the Democratic districts, they had to stand in line for hours and hours and hours to vote, which discourages people from voting.
Congressman Sam Farr with us on the Peter B. Collins Show. Just about a minute and a half remaining, Sam, and I don't want to sandbag you, but perhaps you could give us a little sense of hope. A lot of progressives are very disappointed by your colleagues in the Senate. True, 25 did support the filibuster, and almost all the Democrats finally opposed the confirmation of Judge Alito. But there are many of us who are very discouraged by this and by the choice of Governor Kaine last night. John Murtha should have given the response to the State of the Union message. What's your comment?
Well, 2 points. Kaine just won a Democratic upset in a conservative southern state in Virginia, and is sort of the one that's the most recent that's beaten the Bush machine. And so they turn to him because these issues are about local issues. Secondly, I think what happens is that people are easy to criticize out there. They forget that the Democratic Party in Washington, D.C. is a minority party. We can't even get a room scheduled. So, the Senate Democrats sticking together can't create a filibuster because the votes are against them. So you've got to have some Republicans on your side, and when you don't have those, nothing happens. This city works, at least from our standpoint, when we have bipartisan collaboration. We've done it sometimes, but to just, I mean, I'm, people say, well, why don't you do impeachment? Well, the Republican Party won't allow us to impeach, have any hearings on it. They won't even proceed with it.
Congressman, we're out of time. Do you want to hold over to the next segment, or do you need to go?
I can hold for a second.
Great. I'd like to pursue this further. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the high morning to perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal. Choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, I'm Joan KeysMattersRadio.org. So let's keep talking Saturdays at 3 on KRXA 540.
Tom Hartman.
And George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and, you know, all these guys who had other priorities during the last opportunity to be in a war.
The Tom Hartman Show.
Wolfowitz and Pearl and Bolton. None of them served in combat. Most of them didn't serve in the military at all.
Live every morning, 9 to noon.
In fact, the only one that I can think of in the bunch who actually did serve was George W. Bush.
The Tom Hartman Show.
And he went AWOL and then deserted.
On KRXA 540.
Wasn't that sweet?
The new Radio Free America.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, chefs, farmers, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by the Monterey County Growers and Vintners Association's 4th Annual Passport Weekend, February 17th, 18th, and 19th, travel the world without packing a suitcase.
It is useless to resist us.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. It's 3:33, and Congressman Sam Farr has generously agreed to spend a few more minutes with us. And, Sam, I wanted to just give you a chance, without the commercial freight train barreling into our ears, to finish your thoughts. I do understand that the Democrats are in the minority, and I recognize that there are limits to what can be done under these conditions. At the same time, I believe that the Alito nomination really was a watershed moment. It was the extraordinary event that the Gang of 14 had said could warrant a filibuster. Yet we saw 18 Democratic senators unable to find the courage to, vote against cloture or just vote present for one round to permit John Kerry to lead it forward. And to me, just one sec, I feel that they are following the polls instead of providing leadership. And that's what I think progressives are looking for, is strong leadership that's based on conviction.
Well, I think we have that in the party, but we don't win elections without seeking out the moderates. I mean, that's just a fact of life, unless you're in a very safe district in a very liberal area, and there aren't many of those around the United States. The fact of the matter is, if you're going to get, and you perhaps ought to have Senator Kennedy or Kerry on the program and explaining what went on in House, because I'm not privy to that, but members of Congress and the senators too sort of vote their districts, they vote their states. Let's put some blame on the grassroots organization or lack thereof in those states where members aren't sticking to the party message. And I agree with you. It disturbed me. But you saw how our own Senator Dianne Feinstein was waffling until Cindy Sheehan and others went. And I think that the women in California really organized strongly. And Dianne came out in support of the filibuster and voted against Alito.
But Salazar of Colorado just got elected. He doesn't face, another election for 5 years. Tim Johnson of South Dakota is a guy who has, claimed to be pro-choice for a long time. And I find it, contradictory for somebody to claim that they're pro-choice and then vote for Sam Alito for a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court.
Well, I think you've got a point. I mean, I'm not sure that they can tell you that that he's committed to voting against Roe v. Wade and the appeal. I mean, if the case comes up, we don't know. I mean, they don't. You know, the judges don't tell you how they're going to. The candidates don't tell you how they're going to vote on specific things, and they don't ask those kinds of yes or no questions. But they're trying to get a feel for it, and obviously, the feel that was raised gave a great deal of concern.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the organizations dropped their national campaigns. This is a confirmation that goes on in the Senate, and as I said, I don't know the inside scoop.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps Barbara Boxer would get her to get on the phone with you, because Barbara would love to be on your program, and certainly she's privy to those discussions that went on behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me.
Peter, I want to just say one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all I hear is, where's the Democratic voice? I mean, what your radio station is doing is bringing a voice back for progressive radio, and that had been lost. And why has it been lost? Why is the opposition voice is lost out there? Because there's been, one, a big consolidation of media, and two, with that consolidation, where people, the corporations own the radio stations, the newspapers, the television stations are sort of one kind of news message. They're all following each other. Long day, I'm tired, but
I understand.
One news media ends up with a lead story, everyone follows it, and so everybody's chasing the same lead. The minority of viewpoint or the opposition or grassroots isn't heard, it's all top down. This is a problem, but the voices, I mean, the passion of members of Congress are still there, and the mm-hmm. difference is that back in the Reagan years and the Bush one years, the Democrats held control of the House and the Senate. And in the early Clinton years, the Democrats were there. But after 1994, when we lost control of the House, we lost our voice. We lost access to a microphone. Nobody cares what the minority party says in this town. It didn't used to be that way, but it's that way now.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find internet and other services that were out there, and the Democrats are. I blogged it all last night. I think we're using the technology. We're having rump hearings. We have hearings in basements. We have hearings on the lawn, not in the wintertime, but we're doing everything we can to get the message out. And I do believe the public doesn't get it yet until we go.
The manner in which he conducted himself in the hearings with amnesia on Vanguard and the Princeton alumni group, that Democrats had an opportunity here to use that nomination to define the party and to separate it from the Republicans in a way that hasn't been present all too often in the last 4 to 6 cycles. Your comment?
Well, we're going to have an election this year in November. It's not going to be presidential, so you're not going to get as many vote turnout, not as much participation in the electoral process. But you will see leaders emerging from that. Houses will be reorganized. If the Democrats in control, we will have new party leaders from the border states of Canada. Their choice is a very tough issue for them. They come from very Catholic, very religious districts. You find in the South, the Black caucus is very pro-guns and NRA. And, Bernie Sanders, the socialist from Vermont, got elected by defeating Peter Smith, who was the former president of CSUMB in Monterey after he lost his election in Vermont. And it's interesting that Peter took on the NRA in Vermont. and a socialist who had the backing of the NRA won. So politics is strange bedfellows, and you have to understand those bedfellows district by district in order to understand how people get elected. And that's my point, is that there's nothing wrong with being progressive and risky and all of that, and I'm certainly part of my politic, but I don't do it I don't do it recklessly, and I do service the district well. I've got conservatives in the Salinas Valley, and yet we have, you know, agriculture that I can be very proud of and can work very hard because we don't subsidize that agriculture. This is about free market enterprise, and it's about helping people succeed and getting good wages for farm workers and all kinds of things. And so I find that your politics can cross both sides of the aisle as long as you keep focused on what the end goal is.
All right. Congressman, thanks for indulging me. Thanks for the extra time today.
Thank you very much. It's always a joy being on your program.
We'll talk again soon. Congressman Sam Farr, Democrat from Carmel, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to take a quick break and return with Perry Jeffries. Operation Truth has been renamed. We'll tell you the organization's new name and get Perry's response to the president's comments about the war in Iraq and the so-called war on terror. That's straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
This is it. This is the world we live in. What are we going to do about it? It's time to stop picking parasites off your friend's hairy back and become an engaged cerebral citizen. Yes, there is more to American youth culture than McDonald's, malls, MySpace, and corporate monopolies. We have got to do better than the current apes that are in the process of turning this country into a banana republic. But we need your help. Call in, tell your friends, and listen to The Naked Ape, Sundays on KRXA.
Listen live, Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo certified and factory trained technician with over 16 years experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family operated full service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll get 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize at events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the...
I want to thank Matt Renner for sitting in here yesterday. I'm still recovering from the cough cold thing that's going around. And I have to say that recent political events haven't helped my health. Perry Jeffries joins us now. He is a member of the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. That is the new name for an organization that I've known previously is Operation Truth, optruth.org on the web, founded by Paul Rykoff. Perry, welcome to our program today.
Well, thank you very much.
And I'm sorry the start of your appearance here was delayed, but I was in a heated conversation with Congressman Farr about the future of the Democratic Party, and as long as he was willing to stay on, I wanted to pursue it. So my apologies to you.
I think that was an important conversation. I don't mind waiting at all.
Well, thank you. You're kind. I wanted to ask you to expand a little bit on the post that you wrote that is available for our listeners at iava.org,
And that is the new website of the organization I referenced, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. And you talked about the events last night as kind of political theater and made a couple of comparisons to sporting events.
Yeah, I watched it pretty close on C-SPAN so I could try to get away from the network noise. And at one point, they panned the camera over, and you could see the two senators from opposite sides of the aisle kind of laughing and joking, and they cut to President Bush, and he looked kind of satisfied with what he had said. And I just had this sense that these guys saw.
And that is the new website of the organization I referenced, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. And you talked about the events last night as kind of political theater and made a couple of comparisons to sporting events.
Yeah, I watched it pretty close on C-SPAN so I could try to get away from the network noise. And at one point, they panned the camera over, and you could see the two senators from opposite sides of the aisle kind of laughing and joking, and they cut to President Bush, and he looked kind of satisfied with what he had said. And I just had this sense that these guys thought they were playing some kind of a game and that they were giving themselves a manly pat on the butt for, oh, that was a well-played hand. And the problem is their actions and their words in Washington have a direct effect on the health and welfare of thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of our soldiers, men, women, Marines, sailors, airmen, and Iraqi civilians and others across the world. And I just don't know that they were taking it that seriously.
There is that air of friendliness, and even when you see Democrats who were rushing the president after the speech, trying to get an autograph, trying to get a photograph taken, there is a sense that...
And when he talks about supporting the troops, I wish he'd put them happy with that, you know, last night that they arrested Cindy Sheehan. And then today it turns out they also removed a Republican congressman's wife for wearing a Support the Troops T-shirt. Now, she didn't get arrested, and so, you know, you can compare those two actions. But in both cases, this is supposed to be the freedom we're fighting for. And these guys are...
Of friendliness, and even when you see Democrats who were rushing the president after the speech, trying to get an autograph, trying to get a photograph taken, there is a sense that...
And when he talks about supporting the troops, I wish he'd put them happy with that, you know, last night that they arrested Cindy Sheehan. And then today it turns out they also removed a Republican congressman's wife for wearing a Support the Troops T-shirt. Now, she didn't get arrested, and so, you know, you can compare those two actions. But in both cases, this is supposed to be the freedom we're fighting for, and these guys are run out. You're right. The president couldn't even nod towards a lady in the gallery that has done so much to focus good attention on the soldiers, on the men and women over there and their needs.
So tell me what you thought about, I was going to just use the word substance, and I caught myself, the meat of the speech, because in my view, the president trotted out the applause lines that have worked for him in the past related to freedom, liberty, the misleading connection of Iraq with what is claimed to be a war on terror. But I have to say that if I were given a choice, I would prefer to see so that old resentments will be eased. And
as long
the
as you're a Shiite.
Marginalized. Say that again?
As long as you're a Shiite.
Right. No, I mean, what the president says doesn't square with the truth. Second, we are continuing reconstruction efforts and helping the Iraqi government to fight corruption and build a modern economy. Well, we know that the reconstruction has been sharply stalled because they misjudged the security needs related to the insurgency.
Yeah, and who did we promulgate as the president over there but Ahmad Chalabi?
Right.
You know, one of the most corrupt guys in the whole Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're right. We've cut the reconstruction funds. He started saying again for a week or so there, he wasn't even saying rebuilding as one of the legs of his three-legged stool there.
Yeah. So I have to say that from your perspective, it appears the president offered very little that you could take heart with or find encouragement in. Don't let me put words in your mouth. Was there anything in the speech that did give you a sense of leadership or progress?
No, you know, and this is when you rarely have time, but as far as I could go was say, hey, make sure you register to vote and just listen to what people say and then vote one side or another. But I always told them, don't look at what they say, watch what they do. Mm-hmm. And so he said a few good words, you know, like we got to get off oil, or we have to spread peace in the world, or the military is not the only solution. But in every case that I can find, the thing he talked about, he's doing just the opposite, or his administration is doing just the opposite. It really got me when he said, let's have military. Yes, sir.
Perry Jeffries, visit the website IAVA.org, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Open phones in the next segment. Give me your response to the President's State of the Union. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay Area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay Area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tronic Filing. Get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Income Tax today, 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
West be conducted, of course.
Thank you. You have a wonderful day.
Do I get charged for that?
No, not at all. It's part of your service.
Have a good day.
Please know we are here whenever you need us.
All right. Thank you.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles and unlimited use.
For his agenda at home and abroad, Mr. Bush also hits the road tomorrow and Friday, spotlighting his strategy to boost U.S. competitiveness. Mark Noller, CBS News, with the president in Nashville.
Alternative fuel.
It's busy. I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed.
Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
We're here on Groundhog Day, and it looks like the groundhog is popping his head up, and he's moving towards the podium. My goodness, the groundhog is going to speak.
Can you people please replace your old wiper blades with Rain-X blades so that you can see better and not run over my friends and family? And as for the weather, listen, I am a groundhog, not a meteorologist, for Pete's sakes.
Every Groundhog Day, change your wiper blades to Rain-X blades. They can handle any weather, even six more weeks of winter.
You can call us toll-free. It's 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. We'll be taking calls this half hour and again in the 5 o'clock hour. Coming up at 4:30, Lee Price will join us from the Economic Policy Institute, and we'll get his analysis of the president's proposals related to tax cuts and continuing to cut discretionary spending, like the student loan programs, deadbeat dad track down programs, Medicare, etc. And I've got some comments for you about the breakthrough the president made last night, finally admitting that we are addicted to oil. But as any addict, he is in denial, assuming that, working on new technology is the way to fix the problem. Certainly we should. And whether we fuel cars by batteries or ethanol, hybrids, solar power, hydrogen, I'm in favor of any of those technology developments, but the president couldn't find it in himself to even suggest that we increase the CAFE standards. That's the law that requires the manufacturers to meet mileage fuel standards. And they were raised for a while, and then Detroit pushed back. And because they made so much money in the 80s and 90s on gas-guzzling SUVs and pickup trucks, well, they lobbied hard, and they've maintained the watered-down fuel standards. But if we increase that efficiency, it would go a long way toward reducing our dependence on oil. The other thing, of course, the president could not find the words global warming anywhere in his limited vocabulary when he gave us the State of the Union message last night. We'll go to your calls here in just a moment, but we have a delicious clip that Matt Renner, my producer, found at Media Matters for America. That's mediamatters.org on the web. And this is Keith Olbermann with a little broadcast tete-a-tete with Bill O'Reilly. It's so delicious, we can't resist. Let's listen.
Straight Fs, another lashing out at NBC. Swing and a miss. Special edition of Worst Person in the World next here on Countdown. And now a little out of traditional sequence, Countdown's nominee for today's Worst Person in the World, and Bill O'Reilly is at it again. The second time in four shows, whining about cheap shots from MSNBC and NBC. This time he opened his program with it, ostensibly starting with a patronizing update on the health of ABC's Doug Vogt and Bob Woodruff, whom he identified as Woodriss. There was a lot of guff about the code among most in TV news of respect and professional courtesy, but most of what Mr. O'Reilly was saying was his typical obtuse shorthand of bullying and another word starting with bull. As a public service, I'm going to read portions of his remarks and then translate them into what he's actually saying. The bottom line is, as the oldest cliche goes, he can dish it out, but clearly he cannot take it. Fox News has good relationships with ABC News, CBS News, and generally CNN. That's probably why Fox bought those billboards across the street from CNN headquarters, taunting them about ratings, or issued that anonymous statement comparing CNN to the Titanic, or the one about Ted Turner losing his mind. But Talking Points is troubled by the behavior of NBC, which cheap shots Fox News on a regular basis and has been doing so for some time. You know, I got to confess, it had never occurred to me before, but when we quote your own words back to you about how the Catholic Church was out to get Christmas or how we should let Al-Qaeda attack San Francisco, they must seem like cheap shots. And there's only a few people doing this, but NBC President Robert Wright allows it to happen. Wright knows exactly what's going on because he's been made aware of it. Maybe he hasn't, Bill. Mr. Wright is the chairman, not the president of NBC, so your postcard of complaint may have gone to the wrong office. And by the way, let us leave our bosses out of this, Bill, or I'll have to call yours. And you know how much Satan hates to be disturbed while American Idol is on. By the way, I ain't calling Rupert Murdoch the devil, by the way. Now, we understand that NBC has major problems. Its primetime programming is dead last. Its cable operations are ratings failures. In the cable ratings for the year 2005, USA Network, owned by NBC, finished three full places ahead of Fox News. And as to MSNBC, since February of 2005, our respective ratings tell a very interesting story. In what was described today by News Corp as, quote, the money demo, Countdown's ratings are up 34%, but O'Reilly's have shriveled by 21%. Bill's obviously among our new viewers. But that is no excuse for unprofessional behavior.
Thank you, Joe. If you want to see the whole clip, it's a precious little piece of video. You can find it at mediamatters.org. And I have to say that I'm warming up to Keith Olbermann. He first joined MSNBC about a year ago, and I'm put off by the way the show is structured. It's this tabloid thing where they count down the stories and make it seem like a trivial story is as important as a crucial one. At the same time, inside that format, he does some interesting things. He is the most progressive guy on TV these days in terms of our issues about free elections and the problems in Ohio and with electronic voting machines. And this is just another example of where he's willing to take on a bully like Bill O'Reilly and have a little fun with him. So you'll enjoy that clip next time you're online. Check it out, mediamatters.org. Now to your calls. First up, we've got a couple of Pats. Pat from Covina. Thanks for holding. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, fabulous. How are you doing today?
I'm feeling a little better. I'm working through this cold thing that everybody's been contending with.
I have passed through it myself. It is fabulous to hear your voice, and you got a great show going on.
Well, thanks.
Listen,
Pat.
I wanted to mention one thing about the State of the Union address, and then I got something else I want to ask you about because I've been doing some digging today.
Okay, turn down your audio there because I can hear it in the background.
Oh, I have you on the speakerphone. I'll take you off of it.
Okay, that's better.
Is that better?
Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
Sorry about that. Okay, so about the State of the Union address, I guess, I don't know if you, pop quiz. How many times did President Bush say the word Katrina during the speech?
Zero.
That's it?
Yep.
I'm shaking. Okay, that's all I had on that.
Just a minute. 150 words about the Gulf Coast and New Orleans at the very end of the speech, and nothing new. I mean, it was just some platitudes and a review of what we've already committed to do, but really nothing to encourage the people in the South or deal with the real problems that they face.
That man could not say the word.
Right, and Brownie wasn't there, so he couldn't say heck of a job, Brownie.
I'm stunned.
Well,
I can't even give any more attention to the State of the Union speech. So, some other people are digging into the particulars of the truth and the lies, et cetera. I've come across something else that is completely overshadows that.
All right.
So I want to know what you know about this, because I'm not a constitutional scholar. I just happened across this stuff, and it's unbelievable to me. So here's the... I'm stunned.
Well,
I can't even give any more attention to the State of the Union speech. So, some other people are digging into the particulars of the truth and the lies, et cetera. I've come across something else that is completely overshadows that.
All right.
So I want to know what you know about this, because I'm not a constitutional scholar. I just happened across this stuff, and it's unbelievable to me. So here's the deal. United States versus United States District Court, 407 U.S. 297 in 1972. This is the, and it happened, it was decided, it was a Supreme Court case that was decided on June 19th, 1972. And that date should be familiar to some people because June 19th, 1972 was the Friday preceding the Saturday.
Of the Watergate break-in.
Sorry?
Right? It was at the time of the Watergate break-in.
It was the Friday preceding the Saturday when the Watergate break-in happened.
Mm-hmm. There
was...
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate.
Grotto and Holman's Antique Plaza in Pacific Grove.
KRXA has a Valentine for you. Joan Kenley is bringing you her new Saturday show on KRXA 540. It's called Talking Matters, and you don't want to miss it. You may already know Joan as the author of Voice Power and Whose Body Is It Anyway? Or you've seen her on Oprah, CNN, Dateline, Good Morning America, or heard her on The Simpsons. Now Joan's brought her program to
and Holman's Antique Plaza in Pacific Grove.
KRXA has a Valentine for you. Joan Kenley is bringing you her new Saturday show on KRXA 540. It's called Talking Matters, and you don't want to miss it. You may already know Joan as the author of Voice Power and Whose Body Is It Anyway? Or you've seen her on Oprah, CNN, Dateline, Good Morning America, or heard her on The Simpsons. Now Joan's brought her program to KRXA 540. Talking Matters starts Saturday, February 11th, 3 to 5 p.m. Her show will touch your mind, heart, body, and soul. Her program to KRXA 540. Talking Matters starts Saturday, February 11th, 3 to 5 p.m. Her show will touch your mind, heart, body, and soul. Tune in to her Valentine's special February 11th at 3, full of laughter, tears, and great ideas. You'll hear couples with heart-pounding stories. Joan will talk about the biochemistry of love hormones and the hot topic of emotional infidelity. Learn more at TalkingMattersRadio.org. And keep talking with Joan, Saturdays at 3 on KRXA 540.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio.
Talking Matters starts Saturday, February 11th, 3 to 5 p.m. Her show will touch your mind, heart, body, and soul. tune into her Valentine's special February 11th at 3, full of laughter, tears, and great ideas. You'll hear couples with heart-pounding stories. Joan will talk about the biochemistry of love hormones and the hot topic of emotional infidelity. Learn more at TalkingMattersRadio.org. And keep talking with Joan, Saturdays at 3 on KRXA 540.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m.
If you want to comment on our illustrious leader's speech regarding the state of the illusion.
Yes.
And, of course, we started out with Rosie Rack flying the victory flags and then quickly went to the beautiful lawns on private health savings lanes and quietly tiptoeing through the terrorist front thanks to the NSA, that's the Neighborhood Spy Association. And it's when we got to Kansas, Peter, that I actually... Thank you, Peter.
Let's sneak in 32nd Connor Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Tom Hartman.
This stuff had happened under the Clinton administration. They would have him out on the White House lawn, drawn, quartered, and being eaten alive by red ants right now.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
What you have is a White House press corps that is absolutely cowed. We have now gone from news to infotainment, and because it's now an entertainment industry, if covering a missing white girl in Aruba is going to make more profit than talking about body armor, then they're all for it.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory-recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo-certified and factory-trained technician with over 16 years' experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family-operated full-service Volvo repair shop where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
This is it. This is the world we live in. What are we going to do about it? It's time to stop picking parasites off your friend's hairy back and become an engaged cerebral citizen. Yes, there is more to American youth culture than McDonald's, malls, MySpace, and corporate monopolies. We have got to do better than the current apes that are in the process of turning this country into a banana republic. But we need your help. Call in, tell your friends, and listen to The Naked Ape, Sundays on KRXA.
Listen live, Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m.
Let's do it.
I think we need more tax cuts. It's the Peter B. Collins Show up and down the left coast. We're live on KRXA 540, serving Monterey, Santa Cruz, Salinas, and Freedom. We're live on KGOE 1480, serving Eureka, Arcata, and Humboldt County. And let's get more reaction to the State of the Union message last night. The research director of the Economic Policy Institute, Lee Price, joins us now. He served on Capitol Hill in the Joint Economic, the Senate Budget, the Senate Democratic Policy, and House Banking Committees. And he also worked for the United Auto Workers as their international economic expert for a number of years. And I like to tip my hat to the UAW because they funded a progressive radio network a long time ago called IE America. And I was one of the hosts on that for a year or so. And I'm grateful to the auto workers for the support they offered, and didn't go where it should have gone, but it was a great effort. And I'm grateful for that. Lee, thanks for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
Tell us your thoughts before I can poison your mind and set my own agenda about the way the president addressed economic issues in the State of the Union last night.
Well, you know, as Arthur Conan Doyle talked about Sherlock Holmes, the dog that didn't bark. I mean, he didn't say very much about our economic situation because he couldn't be credible. He wants to brag, and as he's tried to brag in the last couple of months, it's got people have turned him off. So I think he didn't say very much. He said we've created 4.6 million jobs. He doesn't say that that's the slowest job growth record in the post-war period, but he did talk about that. But he doesn't want to talk about the wages that are not keeping up with inflation. He doesn't want to talk about five consecutive years of middle-income families' incomes going down.
Well, and to me, of course, what's missing from the president's remarks, he loves to talk about tax cuts because they benefit his base, as he famously said, the haves and the have-mores. And he fails to acknowledge that as taxes for the rich have been reduced and taxes at state and local levels have generally been frozen, that many people have incurred substantial cuts in their disposable income because the cost of health care and the cost of health care insurance has been shifted disproportionately to the consumer, where it used to be 100% borne by their employer. And likewise, here in California, while Schwarzenegger says he hasn't raised taxes, the cost of living here in terms of fees at the community college, state university, and UC level have all increased. And these are truly tax increases and reductions in the disposable income of average Americans.
That's correct. The numbers I was giving before about five consecutive years of average income are before tax and before spending effects. And although some people have gotten, middle, particularly upper income people, have gotten some tax increases, middle and lower income people have had bigger increases in the kinds of things you're talking about than they've gotten tax breaks. So they're paying more for property taxes, they're paying more for health care, they're paying more for college tuition, they're paying more for gasoline in ways that offset that.
And he forgot to do a shout-out to Chevron and the other big oil companies. ExxonMobil has posted, what, the largest profit, obscene profit in American history, $38 billion in a year, almost $11 billion in the last quarter. And he had no message for Americans who are paying more at the pump, paying more for heating fuel, paying more for natural gas, paying more for electricity. He just does not even acknowledge that those increases have occurred.
No. He does acknowledge the political fact. He has to say something about it. So he's talked about increasing research on energy-saving technology, but he cut it so much in his first several years, he's still not back to the level that it was before he took office.
Well, just before you joined us, Lee, a caller made a very powerful point, which was the president embraced technology to try to reduce our addiction to foreign oil. That's a pretty amazing admission on his part, I'd say. And then rejected technology to help improve medical breakthroughs and treatments because he's opposed on a moral basis to stem cell research.
Well, I think that's right. And I think, you know, one of the big problems we've got, though, is that health costs are going up so rapidly. And technology could play a better role in keeping costs from going up. We all want better technology to raise our health, improve our health, but we'd like that to come at without such rapid increase in prices. And we spend almost $30 billion a year in health research, And we ought to be spending that in a way that looks at how do we improve health and keep down costs with that better technology. We're not doing that.
We're talking with Lee Price, Research Director at the Economic Policy Institute, and joining us is Cheryl from Arcata. Hello, Cheryl. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. Nice to join you again.
Thank you.
Just a comment on towards the end of the State of the Union on Social Security, and Bush says Social Security needs addressing in a bipartisan way, and I totally disagree. I think the Democrats need to get all over this. And Social Security is a trust fund that people like myself and working folks put money into as an account for a safety net. And this trust fund has been classified as revenue, and Bush has been using it like a candy jar to fund his little special corrupt politician projects like Iraq War and balancing the budget, and it's criminal. If this is a corporation and they were delving into our savings account or retirement account that we put aside, they'd be in jail. It's like, why is nobody screaming and yelling about this particular issue? And when is it going to be addressed that this is the people's money, not the government?
Well, Lee, to be fair, borrowing from the Social Security Trust Fund is not a new development. But it is fair to say that the president and the departing Fed chairman, Alan Greenspan, were disingenuous, in my view, in claiming that because of that borrowing, there was a crisis at Social Security. Certainly, the actuaries can show that there will be problems down the road, but there is not a near-term crisis.
No, there's no by no means a near-term crisis. It is something that is far enough down into the future that it's not a crisis. There is a crisis in the amount of revenue that we're taking in because of the tax cuts focused on high-income people. We do need to bring down the deficit. We don't have to go to zero, but we do need to bring down the deficit. There is a need to address the technology we use for healthcare so that healthcare doesn't keep rising for the next 30 years at the rate it's been going the last 10, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But Social Security is not a crisis. And, you know, he's had a bipartisan commission to look at tax reform. He's had a bipartisan commission to look at Social Security his first year in office. But they were all handpicked people that were going to agree with him. So they were Democrats, but they didn't go anywhere because they weren't serious. And then, so he may find some Democrats who will agree with him again on what to do about Social Security, but unless he's really going to acknowledge Democrats who can carry weight with other Democrats,
mm-hmm.
instead of people who are just D in name only but not on the issues that he picks them for, then it won't make much difference.
Yeah. Cheryl, did you want to add something?
No. I just wanted to point out to people that we've got a president that's dipping into the candy jar.
Yeah, indeed.
And it's
well,
not
the deficit
right,
would so. Be on the order of $600-700 billion if you took out the Social Security and other trust fund money that's in surplus.
Mm-hmm. And Lee, beyond the obvious, I agree with you. It's not necessary to get to a zero deficit. However, the prolonged deficits that we're looking at and the size of them cause a number of non-economic problems, such as the fact that our debt is being held by China and a handful of other countries, and that the service on that debt is an increasing cost that, of course, has no real utility, doesn't pass through the economy and fuel it in any way. It's a drag.
When I was first studying economics in the 60s and 70s, people used to say that, well, you didn't have to worry about the deficit so much because we owed it to ourselves. But that's no longer the case. Foreigners are basically financing our deficits. And we're, you know, Americans are going to be paying to foreigners long into the future for these deficits. That's going to reduce our standard of living in the future to pay for these deficits.
And, Lee, a lot of people don't notice it until they travel abroad, and I did so last year in the fall. I went to Italy, and I was stunned at the decline in the dollar in just a four-year period from my last trip overseas. And a lot of people, I think, don't recognize that the dollar has declined sharply against other key currencies, and that's another way that the deficit is impacting America's financial condition.
Well, it's mostly happened against the European currencies, or the euro in the case of Italy.
Yeah.
The Asian countries have had some modest but much more limited change in the value of the currency.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to take a break and continue with Lee Price. He's Research Director at the Economic Policy Institute. We'll take more of your calls after the break. Get on the line now if you have a question or comment about the economic aspects of the President's State of the Union message. You want more tax cuts? Oh, he'll bring them on. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll free from anywhere at 1-888-579-2540. It's 444, and you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is KRXA 540 News anchor Casey Lynch, inviting you to join us for a new program, Coach Casey's Call, Saturday mornings from 11 to noon. The show is dedicated to promoting local athletes and the teams they compete for. Coach Casey's Call features in-studio guests as well as listener phone calls, giving you an opportunity to join in the discussion and support the local sports scene. Join us Saturday mornings, 11 to noon, here on KRXA 540 AM for Coach Casey's Call.
Hi, this is Karen from Monterey.
President of AboutCollegeFunding.com offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's an overturn Wednesday. And leaky cars out there. Here's Amy Knight with the details.
It sure is. Southbound 1 at Fremont. We still have that injury accident with that overturned car still blocking the second lane from the left. Traffic has at least a 2-mile delay on the southbound side, according to one of our cell callers, and a northbound backup due to rubberneckers just as you pass the scene. So expect very heavy traffic through Sand City and Seaside this afternoon on Highway 1. In the Soledad area at River Road at Gonzales River Road, still an injury accident involving an overturned pickup truck. And Peter, North 101 before Maston Avenue in Gilroy, there's a broken down hearse partially blocking the right lane.
Wow.
You'd probably say it's at a dead stop. In order to rescue disaster victims, you must first find them. Be a part of the search at 888 or K9 Hero. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm glad you're listening here this afternoon. You can call us at 831-899-5792 or toll-free at 888-579-2540. My guest is Lee Price, Research Director of the Economic Policy Institute, and we're joined by Dave in Eureka. Hi, Dave. You're on the air. Dave, do we have you? Lee, do you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay. All right. Well, Dave, call us back. We seem to have a bad connection there. Lee, one of the things that during the break, I just pulled up a commentary from E.J. Dionne that was published in the Washington Post yesterday. And his headline is a question, where's the budget outrage? And in particular, he describes he was predicting the outcome of the vote that did occur today, the offset legislation that cuts the student loan programs, cuts some Medicaid, cuts some efforts to collect money from deadbeat dads, and other social programs that the president refers to euphemistically as non-security discretionary spending.
Right.
And
we cut $1.5 billion out of child enforcement so that we can save some money there, but it means $10 billion less going to kids.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
And let me ask you E.J. Dionne's question. Where's the outrage? Why are people so passive about these kinds of cuts that affect really the most powerless people in our country?
Well, I think you sort of answered your question. They're powerless right now. We need to educate people who care about the powerless, but also we need to empower the powerless. We need to convince people to come out to vote to overturn these kinds of policies. But unfortunately, the people who are not getting their child support payments are not getting enforcement from it are the least likely to vote. The people who are getting their Medicaid benefits cut are the least likely to vote, and we need to get a higher voting turnout for people, and we need to have candidates who say they are outraged about it so that people feel like it's worth going to vote.
Yeah.
The problem is we don't have enough politicians who are outraged about it to make people come out and vote for them.
Well, I sucked it up last night, and I watched the State of the Union through the prism of the Fox News Channel, and they brought in Newt Gingrich, and of course, he has that connection to Fox because it was Rupert Murdoch who wrote him the big book deal contract that led to his disgraced resignation as Speaker and a member of the House. He's trying to rehabilitate himself now, but of course, he offered no critical comments on the economic portions of the president's message and was unable to recall the part of the contract with America that was his calling card in the 94 sweep that, you know, anybody who supported the contract embraced a balanced budget constitutional amendment. The amnesia of the Republicans on that is startling, isn't it?
Yes, it is. They were all for it as long as it was an issue of Democratic spending. But when it came to Republican tax cuts, they're amnesiac, and
let's
you don't hear them talking about it anymore.
All right, let's
the
go
deficits are much bigger than they were. If you go back over the last 25 years, the biggest deficits we had were under Ronald Reagan and now George Bush. That we went from deficit to surplus under Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm. Tara in Eureka, or I'm sorry, Arcata. Tara, join us.
Hi there, and I'm sorry about your cold. I hope you're over it soon.
I'm working on it, and a little scotch in the evening helps.
Good. Good. Sounds good to me.
And Scotch helped with the State of the Union message just a little last night.
I did watch it. I wanted to watch cartoons.
Yeah.
But I felt it was my duty to watch it, but I couldn't go to Fox. I really, really admire you.
Well, thanks. I don't think I mean, the only award I would deserve is for some sort of self-inflicted punishment, but it is interesting to see it played out from their perspective. And, of course, they do cheerlead the president. There are occasional, you know, minor criticisms that are permitted to be aired, but it's a 4-to-1 ratio easily.
Definitely. What I called about was the medical we've been talking about.
Tara, and just speak up a little bit. We got a weak connection.
Okay. What
Thanks.
I'm calling about is the medical that we've talked about. And my husband's in medicine, so we've talked about the medical plan a lot. He and I both tried to talk people into Hillary's plan, which was unsuccessful. He feels that what we need is a single-payer system. Otherwise, what we're paying for is jets for people, which is what we're doing right now, which is why medicine is so expensive.
Well, I certainly support single-payer. And I think that, of course, the first admission has to be that our current system that flirts with the so-called free market, but, of course, because of consolidation and the stranglehold that certain insurance companies and HMOs and hospital groups have on the delivery systems, that we have to acknowledge that this is a failure. And we have to be able to overcome the pushback that will come from these heavily moneyed interests, the way they did kill Hillary's plan, by painting it as, oh, they want to socialize one-eighth of the American economy. Well, I don't think that's the purpose. They want to provide good health care to the richest nation in the world on a basis that every citizen can afford. That's the real point. It's not an attempt to socialize things. It's a recognition that the corporate approach to this simply is a failure. Lee, do you have a comment?
Yes. You know, we spend far more resources in our economy for health care than any other country. We spend 16% of our national output. Canadians spill about 10%. At least half of that, maybe most of it, is almost all of it, perhaps, is that difference is our huge inefficient insurance bureaucracy. And we've got, if you look at our Social Security program or the Medicare program, we are running big insurance plans that are much more efficient than the private market because they are universal.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a more my wife is a physician, and she has 70 to 100 different insurance companies, and they all have different formulas, and it takes staff in her office with real expertise to be able to file these things and battle the insurance companies. The insurance companies are knocking it down. The insurance companies have all these people fighting back the other way, and it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
How much waste there is on that side of things.
And do these health savings accounts have the kind of impact the president portrays them to?
No. I mean, they're one more way to cut taxes for high-income people. He wants, in order to be able to get his tax benefits, you've got to have a $3,000 deductible or so on your health insurance. Well, a lot of people can't afford that first $300,000 before you start getting your insurance to kick in. They need insurance that has a lower deductible than that. But the people who can afford a $3,000 deductible are people with a lot of money. They can afford to lose $3,000 before they receive any income from the insurance company.
Mm-hmm. Tara, do you have another comment?
Yes.
Go ahead.
People don't realize there's something else going on. The insurance companies will give a hospital group like, for example, St. Joseph's up here gets a discount rate on their insurance as opposed to Mad River Hospital up here, which is a small hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And Mad River has to beg and plead to get anywhere near the money back that St. Joseph's does. So not only is St. Joseph's a nonprofit, but then they're getting special rates over small hospitals, rather than everybody getting the same rate for the same, same practice.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks for bringing that forward. Good to hear from you, Tara.
Good to hear you, too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. Lee Price, I wanted to get your thought on an issue not directly related to the State of the Union message, but the president failed to acknowledge this point that the rich have gotten absolutely richer under his administration. In 2003, the top 1% of households owned 57.5% of the corporate wealth, which is up from 53.4% the year before. The top group share of corporate wealth has grown by half since 1991. And let me give those statistics again. In 1991, the top 1% of U.S. households controlled only 38.7% of corporate wealth. And it's now up to 57.5%. So the gap between the wealthiest and the rest of us has grown even greater. And this gap causes a lot of economic problems. What's your take?
Oh, I think for the last 30 years, we've had a dramatic increase in the inequality of income and wealth. And it's remarkable that it hasn't caused more angst than it has. I think when Bill Clinton ran in 1992, he made a big issue out of the inequality and the divide. But it's not gotten the attention that I think it should in public policy since then.
Yeah. Well, to me, it's one of those glaring issues comparable to the growing gap between average worker pay and the compensation for CEOs. And ultimately, we're going to have to address these things, but it probably won't happen under Republican one-party rule. Lee, thanks for joining us today. I appreciate your analysis. Lee Price, Research Director at the Economic Policy Institute. Coming up next, we'll kick off the hour with Larissa Alexandrovna, the investigative reporter from RawStory.com. And then we're going to take more of your phone calls between 5:30 and 6. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. And I'm glad. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, Choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Lou Miliano. Ask the experts, this is significant.
Politically, for him to shut down the coal mines in West Virginia, even if it's only for a few days, is a very, very bold step.
Jeff Goodell's written about mine disasters and lives and breathes the stuff, calling bold West Virginia Governor Joe Manchin's shutdown request this evening. CBS News reporter Jim Crisula says the catalyst for three more mine incidents, two more deaths today.
There have been two more fatal mine accidents in West Virginia today, and that has prompted Governor Joe Manchin to take the rather extreme step of calling on all coal companies to cease production until safety checks can be conducted. The governor says he wants to check for all unsafe conditions, and he said we're going to correct any unsafe conditions before we mine another lump of coal in West Virginia.
In the last month, 16 have died in West Virginia mines, including 12 early last month at the Sago mine explosion. This evening, the U.S. Department of Labor has asked for the stand down to go nationwide this Monday. Just tears your heart out, even if you're not fond of dogs. WCBS reporter Peter Haskell says drug enforcement officials use this latest roundup of smugglers to show just how far the traffickers will go.
They were puppies being used as drug mules. That's what federal drug agent Garrison Courtney says was the practice of Colombian drug dealers. Courtney says six puppies had liquid heroin stitched into their stomachs.
It's a little bit egregious when they do that, and three of them actually died as a result of getting infected from the heroin inside of them.
Courtney says the drugs were bound for New York. Agents made 22 arrests and seized 24 kilos of heroin. The street value of the drugs was nearly $20 million. The heroin was also smuggled in more conventional ways,
like concealed in face cream and in aerosol cans. Testimony has begun in the federal fraud and conspiracy trial of Enron founder Kenneth Lay and ex-CEO Jeff Skilling. Enron's former chief contact for investors, Mark Koenig, says both men were heavily involved in day-to-day company operations before the Houston-based company collapsed in scandal in December of 2001. United Airlines says it's officially exiting Chapter 11 bankruptcy. United marked the event in low-key fashion by sending top executives to airports around the country to thank United employees and customers for their patience. But WBBM reporter Regine Schlesinger says a closer look at documents suggests that's disingenuous.
Port and company documents indicate once the airline emerges from bankruptcy, CEO Glenn Tilton stands to earn $15 million in stock and options and base pay that could double with a bonus. Sarah Nelson De La Cruz with the Flight Attendants Union says it flies in the face of United's promise when the unions agreed to salary and benefits concessions.
They said that everyone would share in the sacrifices and the pain to see United Airlines restructure.
United, she says, also promised to share any success with employees. That also, she says, doesn't seem to be happening.
This is CBS News.
Tiger Balm presents Jerry Rice.
Starting at wide receiver.
I'm ready for some football.
All-time record holder and Tiger Balm's biggest fan.
Huh?
Especially Tiger Balm's new pain-relieving patch.
The patch works for me.
Just apply the advanced hydrogel patch and Tiger Balm goes deep. Deep into aching muscles and joints. Tiger Balm's been around almost as long as...
Hey, watch it, pal.
Number 80, Jerry Rice.
Take a tip from me. Go for the Balm, Tiger Balm, and put the Tiger in your team.
Available at drugstores everywhere.
Want to be a big hit this Valentine's? You need to know 1-800-Flowers.com. They have the ultimate Valentine's gifts, and the flowers always get rave reviews. Tulips, roses, orchids, they're all gorgeous. And 1-800-Flowers.com delivers their flowers at the peak of perfection, even same day. And you can add chocolates or a teddy bear to any bouquet to make the perfect gift even more perfect. Just call or log on to 1-800-Flowers.com today and mention Lisa. You'll save 10% on anything you order. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com/radio for details.
President Bush sort of got what he wanted, but not quite. CBS News congressional correspondent Bob Fuss says it's House approval of an extension of the Patriot Act.
This extends the 16 most controversial parts of the Patriot Act until March 10th. Otherwise, they would expire Friday. In December, a big push by the president to renew this law bogged down in a Senate filibuster, with opponents insisting on changes to protect civil liberties from the expanded power of the FBI to conduct secret searches and sweep up private information. If the Senate goes along, this provides 5 more weeks to try to negotiate the differences.
Apologies from U.S. Capitol Police to anti-war activist Cindy Sheehan and a congressman's wife. The two were ejected from President Bush's State of the Union address last evening, Sheehan for wearing an anti-war T-shirt, the other woman for wearing a T-shirt supporting U.S. troops. The Capitol Police say there's nothing really wrong with that. I'm Lou Milligano, CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Emergency, this is Beverly.
Yes, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I locked my keys out of my car. My car's running.
Oh, dear. Okay, let's get the doors open. What's the four-digit PIN number on the account?
882.
OnStar can send a signal to unlock your doors in most cases.
You are the best. This is the first time I'm trying this. I gotta see how this works.
You said the vehicle's running right now, right?
It's running, and I put my key in, and they close the door.
Okay, let me go ahead and send the signal through.
The peace of mind OnStar offers is more affordable than you might think.
There we go, baby. You're the best. I love you.
Thank you. You have a wonderful day.
Do I get charged for that?
No, not at all. It's part of your service.
Have a good day.
Please know we are here whenever you need us.
All right, thank you.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles, and unlimited use of all safety and security services costs only $16.95 plus tax per month after that. OnStar by GM. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm glad you're listening. I'm Peter B., your humble host. And a minor change in our plans. We had expected to hook up with Larissa Alexandrovna this half hour, but she's not available. And we'll catch up with her as soon as we can. She's always got breaking news, and maybe she's knee-deep in investigation right now. That leaves room for more of your calls. We'll designate this an entire hour in the free speed zone. So get on the line and share your comments with me right now. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast. That's 831-899-KRXA. You can also reach us toll-free if you're listening online or on KGOE in Eureka. The toll-free line is 888-579-2540. Again, 1-888-579-2540. You can also drop me an email, peter@krxa540.com. And I am flattered because I was listening to Ed Schultz's show earlier today, and he played this song as bumper music. It's a group called Gorillaz with a Z on the end, and I really like it. I don't understand what the song says, what the windmill part means, but it's one of the catchiest tunes I've heard in a long, long time. Lots to talk about here on the program this afternoon, so do pick up a line. Again, 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540. You can talk about the State of the Union and the sorry state of the Bush administration. There's plenty of that to discuss. You also may want to discuss that the governor of West Virginia has taken a bold step and closed all of the coal mines in that state. That is a major industry in a very poor state. Not an easy move to take, but two more miners died, and clearly conditions there are substandard in many of those underground mines. I don't know another term to use for them. And part of it, of course, could be that the Bush administration has cut back on inspections of mines. That is an issue that surfaced in the mine incident 2-3 weeks ago that killed 12 miners. Also, it's interesting that we heard on our top of the hour news that Capitol Hill police have apologized to Cindy Sheehan for the treatment that she got when she was ejected from the gallery at the State of the Union address last night for having a T-shirt on under her jacket that depicted the number of dead in Iraq. And this is turning into an interesting sidebar story. And I want to direct you to mediachannel.org. I just got an email alert from them about 10 minutes ago. And if you listen to our program on a regular basis, Danny Schechter is one of the founders of mediachannel.org. And they have a new service called, what is it called? Media Vision Search. And they monitor television news coverage coast to coast. So I'm going to run this down for you briefly, and then I have a statement from Congressman Lynn Woolsey regarding the treatment of Cindy Sheehan. So first, the reports, it says here, many stations ran token coverage stating that Sheehan wore an anti-war shirt and was arrested for it. One station in St. Louis wrongly reported she was arrested for unfurling a flag. One was misleading in the way it referenced Ms. Sheehan decided to hold a demonstration at the Capitol. That was KOVR in Sacramento. And by the way, if you go to this website, each of the citations I mentioned here is linked to a video clip that you can watch for yourself. A few Fox affiliates in their coverage of Ms. Sheehan also mentioned that the wife of a Republican congressman, Bill Young of Florida, was quote-unquote kicked out as well for wearing a Support Our Troops shirt. They then show a clip of the congressman on the floor holding up the shirt, saying that it was shameful that she got kicked out for wearing it. That is from a Dallas station, KDFW, a Fox affiliate. However, MSNBC and CNN Headline News reported that according to Capitol Hill Police, Mrs. Young was not kicked out, but had left on her own. Then they show a clip from MSNBC with the graphic on the screen, Sheehan behind bars. All right, so then it says, finally, the most in-depth news coverage of the Cindy Sheehan arrest goes to The View on ABC television. It says here, yes, the morning female-oriented talk show held a very interesting debate on the topic, outdoing all network news coverage. So that's a very interesting survey of the media reaction to the events involving Cindy Sheehan and the congressman's wife last night. This statement was posted on Truth Out a couple of hours ago from Lynn Woolsey, the Democratic congresswoman who gave the ticket to Cindy Sheehan. Woolsey is strongly allied with Code Pink. She is a founder of the Out of Iraq Caucus, and she recently held a town hall meeting that I attended where she, Barbara Lee, and Cindy Sheehan were the guest speakers, Barbara Lee being the courageous congresswoman from Oakland. So Woolsey says this, since when is free speech conditional on whether you agree with the president? Cindy Sheehan, who gave her own flesh and blood for this disastrous war, did not violate any rules of the House of Representatives. She merely wore a shirt that highlighted the human cost of the Iraq War and expressed a view different than that of the president. Free speech and the First Amendment exist to protect dissenting statements like Ms. Sheehan's last night. Stifling the truth will not blind Americans to the immorality of sending young Americans to die in an unnecessary war against a nation that posed no threat to our security. The president's speech last night was yet another attempt to distort history as he suggested once again that the 9/11 terrorists came from Iraq. Everyone knows this is not true. We must not be afraid to say that the emperor has no clothes. It's time to bring our troops home. Well, good on you, Lynn Woolsey. I have to say, Lynn Woolsey has been my member of Congress for some 12 years now, maybe 14, and in many respects I find her a backbencher who is undistinguished, and I cannot say that about her posture and her advocacy against the war in Iraq, and I give her kudos for that. To your calls now on the Peter B. Collins Show, Dennis in King City. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter B.
Hi.
I want to talk about Bush and a couple other things, but I got to tell you what Lynn Woolsey was on the Morning Moron show, Ron Owens.
Yeah.
And he proceeded to insult her by a caller had called up and said, "Oh, Lynn is as dumb as a box of hammers," and that stupid Ron agrees with him. They gave her a terrible time, and she was explaining what she was trying to do, and they wouldn't give her a chance to talk. It was embarrassing.
Well, Ron Owens. Has become a very arrogant and full of himself talk show host.
Absolutely.
And when he gets on a jag like that, it's really embarrassing to other people in this craft.
Absolutely, and that's why I thank God you guys got your station, because I was the one that called him the M&M man on his comment lines all the time, the morning moron, and they didn't welcome me to call him anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Billy calls once in a while. In fact, Billy called today to talk about Chris Matthews, and he did a good job.
Uh-huh. Well,
but,
good.
Listen, let me say about the State of the Union. It's not what Bush says, it's what he does. You know, talk is cheap to that guy. And when he talks about education, then he cuts it. When he talks about veterans, he cuts their benefits. So you gotta watch, and this is what we need to do. We need to go back to everything he said and just see what he's done about all these promises he makes and these great talks he supposedly gives.
Well, that's an interesting point. Maybe I should be grateful that he didn't mention global warming last night.
Okay, and the other thing I wanted to talk about was your discussion with Sam Farr.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know you're in a situation where you've got to be polite, and I know what you're trying to say. What we're looking for out here is a strong leader.
Yep.
With a simple message, and repeat the message over and over again. And the message should be, Bush, you could use the word liar or whatever. He lied about the reasons why we went to war. He lied about the cost of the pharmaceutical drug. He lied about No Child Left Behind. He didn't fund it. He lied about the wiretapping and when he started, who he did it with. It's unbelievable, and so we have to get that message out. And as far as being civil...
Just before you go on, Dennis, you're dangerous. You pay attention.
Oh, I do.
Much too closely, and you've got a memory.
I do, and I want to go back in the mirror, if you let me, at the end of this. But, and as far as being civil, it's not a time to be civil. And these people on the Republicans are so damn smart, they know that we're not going to be civil, and they're telling us to be civil. So when they tell us to be civil, that's the time we shouldn't be civil.
I agree. I mean, they poke us in the eye, they kick us in the ass, and they say, why are you being so rude?
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, make your final point. I'm up against the break here, Dennis.
Oh, okay. I'll save it.
Okay.
I'll talk to you later.
Very good. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
You're a generous
Bye.
Man. 516 now. More of your calls coming up. We're in the free speech zone here. 831-899-5792, Central Coast, North Coast, or anywhere else. Toll free, 888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and through electronic filing. Get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives.
for many of us. One of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's been a wild commute this afternoon. Let's get the latest from Amy Knight.
Much better news for the Sand City Seaside area. Southbound 1 at Fremont, that earlier accident involving an overturned car has been completely cleared from Highway 1 and traffic beginning to pick up in the area. So there's some good news for you if you're traveling through both directions of Highway 1 in the Sand City area and traffic starting to move now. Car fire now out Highway 68 at Pasadena Drive in Monterey County. Fire crews are on scene. It's off to the side. No lanes blocked there, but tow truck is on the way. But the good news is the fire's out, and no new problems to report right now on 101 through Prunedale as you make your way up toward Gilroy and South San Jose. When you shop at Sam's Club, you get the same everyday low costs on items for your home as you do on items for your business. Sam's Club, we are in business for small business. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Peter B. Collins Show, humble host Peter B. right here. Taking your calls in the free speech zone. You can join me on the toll-free line from anywhere, 1-888-579-2540. Or if you're on the Central Coast, a local call, 831-899-5792. Next up, it's Jake in Arcata. Hi, Jake. How are you today?
Yeah, how's it going, Peter?
Not bad.
So I watched that State of the Union last night, and let me tell you, Bush, his lies just keep on coming. You know, here he is trying to use Orwellian language to redefine illegal domestic spying by the NSA as the terrorist surveillance program.
Right.
And he warned the American people not to second-guess his strategy for so-called victory. Of course, no one can figure out what his strategy is. You know, I'm sorry, when you can't figure out what the strategy is and the commander-in-chief is far too inadequate in his communication skills to present what the strategy for victory is, we need to second-guess that man, clearly. And if the entire war was based on lies, which it was, hey, we need to second-guess him.
And it's a fair guess that there isn't really a strategy because, you know, when he is occasionally allowed sunlight in and said, well, you know, we made some adjustments in the occupation and in the planning, you know, he has been a little bit more forthcoming, but only a little, in the last 3 or 4 months, where in some of these speeches he acknowledges that there were problems, but only in the context of having already fixed them. And given that we know the problems haven't really been fixed, there is a huge credibility gap, and it really falls along party lines, that there are too many people who identify as Republicans who are not sufficiently critical of what the president has to say. The only real critical thinking that came into clear focus was when they rejected Harriet Myers, and in my view, for the wrong reasons.
That's right. It's true. The Republican Party, far too many people are isolated in terms of their information. You know, they listen to right-wing radio and they watch right-wing propaganda from Fox, and they think they have all the information they need when they have very little, in fact. You know, this is something we need to absolutely challenge the Republicans on, whether it's the radio host or Bush. Whenever they try to define what the NSA was doing under Bush's orders, spying on the American people, totally illegal, without precedent, okay, regardless of what they want to tell you, then they're trying to say this is all surveillance on terrorists. They know where the Al-Qaeda terrorists are in the country, and they're watching them, right? But that is just simply BS. That is true, and everybody knows that they are looking at political enemies, journalists, probably political allies as well. Apparently some of the people in the State Department, including Colin Powell, were spied on by the NSA. This is stuff that's coming out from NSA whistleblowers, and people need to challenge the Republicans on what Bush is really up to with this.
a couple of points, and I agree with you. First of all, it's going to be very interesting to see how Senator Spector, who was certainly carrying water for the administration on the last two Supreme Court nominations, appears to be less in tune with them on this spying issue, and the hearings that he will hold beginning next week sometime, I believe, will be interesting, if only to see his posture. But I find it fascinating that the president, who has told us that if he talks any more about this program, it will give information to the enemy, okay, and therefore just talking about it at all, you know, it puts us at risk, then, you know, he asserts without offering any evidence what the scope and nature of this surveillance program are. And because he has kept everything secret and, you know, there are only eight people in the House and Senate who were briefed on this, which is not in accordance with the FISA Act, which he asserted in his speech last night. There isn't a common knowledge in either the insider political circles or among the general public in America today about exactly what has gone on. We have an idea, and we can imagine what kind of scope they're operating on, but we have to take his word for it that this is only, you know, to try to get bad guys who are making phone calls into or out of the United States. And he, of course, sidesteps the critical issues about, you know, the FISA law's flexibility. And even though I don't agree with the way the FISA law is structured in every respect, for him to say that he is above that law and need not follow it or it's inconvenient to follow it is a violation of the law. And I think that's very clear cut.
Absolutely. This is a constitutional crisis that we have on our hands. Bush thinks he's a monarch, a dictator. He himself said he would prefer to be a dictator. And why are we surprised that he's acting like one? Now that, unfortunately, with the Patriot Act and other things, he's been giving powers beyond the scope he should have. You know, he's asking us to trust him, that we should trust George W. Bush. After all the lies he's told, I don't trust a damn thing that man says.
All right, Jake, thanks. Now we're going to get the other side. It's our buddy Brian in Prunedale. Hi, Brian. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. Good afternoon to
thanks.
You and your listeners. Hey, I wondered if you had heard anything about this former Iraqi colonel or general, George Sabat, who has come out with a book apparently stating where the weapons of mass destruction, how they were taken to Syria on the hollowed-out airliners.
No, might Brian, be, I haven't.
Okay, it's happening. The truth is coming out, and somebody's not going to like it. Now, I don't know if the guy's telling the truth or not. I'd like for you to do a little looking around and see what you think about the news.
Okay.
It's been out for at least a week that I know of. You wouldn't want to hear the source, but Sean Hannity had him on an interview, and apparently he's got a book out, and it's out on several websites, which I'm sure you're going to disregard. Because
Newsmax, huh?
WorldNet Daily,
yeah.
Cyber Newscaster, there's a bunch of them. I mean, if I Google it and come up with 1.5 million sources, you're going to still say it ain't happening. So,
well, Brian,
the guy's a former Iraqi general or colonel who has decided now to spill the beans about where the weapons went.
Okay.
Now, my only point is,
Brian, yes, just 1 minute. First of all, if there is any evidence of this, I will be happy to review it. And if I'm wrong, I will admit it, and I'll do it publicly right here on the radio.
I accept that from you, Peter, but I'm highly skeptical.
And I encourage
you. Well, of course
you
are, because it ruins the model that's been this crappy little model that's been built.
No,
and
Brian, you know why?
They called George Bush a liar is
Brian,
not a liar themselves.
Brian, if that Iraqi colonel general or whoever he is telling the truth, do you think George W. Bush wouldn't have had him in the gallery at the State of the Union message last night? He had the temerity to mention weapons of mass destruction very early in the speech.
Let's find out.
That is just incredible.
I'm interested in knowing. I don't think George Bush is as smart as you people think he is. I would be doing that, yes. But, you know, I'm not that smart myself. But at least I know that.
Now, well, Brian, that's interesting. Brian, hold on. That's interesting because I often preach to my progressive friends that it's a mistake to misunderestimate Bush just because he butchers the language. I don't think he's stupid, and I do think that he has great political instincts that are aided and abetted by Karl Rove. And if there was a shred of proof that WMD went from Iraq to Syria, it would have been in that speech last night and all over the news. But I'm prepared to hear it. You send me the link. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo certified and factory trained technician with over 16 years experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family operated full service Volvo repair shop where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hi, this is Karen from Monterey Floral. Valentine's Day is not far away. Call Monterey Floral to order your sweetheart's bouquet. Chocolates, balloons, and foot baskets are also available. You provide the massage. Let Monterey Floral help you make this Valentine's Day extra special. We are located at 1250 Del Monte Avenue. Give us a call today, mention this ad, and receive a surprise gift. That's 641-0651. 641-0651. Remember, flowers say it all.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show in the Free Speech Zone, taking your calls, reacting to the State of the Union message, 831-899-5792 or toll-free, 888-579-2540. This was the part the president didn't think to mention last night in the State of the Union message. It's afflicting the whole world.
Well, there's a little something that's been freaking me. I read it in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning. A spooky little thing called global warming. It seems our indispensable amenities, like airspray, air conditioners, and SUVs, are causing big emissions, all of which are forming. A spooky little thing called global warming. Fluorocarbon strip away ozone. They can't seem to leave the rainforest alone. Our temperatures are rising and they've now deduced the vampires of progress have come home to roost. Well, I always drive the freeway in a bulletproof vest. Have fiber in my diet and a blood pressure test. But this one is a doozy which required forewarning. A spooky little thing called global warming. Now, baby, you know what I like. But, honey, your Hummer is Mother Nature's bummer. Solar is sexy. Carpool is cool. Only a ghoul digs fossil fuel. Prepare for damning droughts and hellish hurricanes. Record-breaking heat waves and torrential rains. The gods are getting peevish and they're crying foul. The werewolves of progress are starting to howl.
Yes, even his breathtaking admission that the United States is addicted to oil, often imported from unstable parts of the world, could not lead him to recognize that climate change, human activity, carbon emissions are really threatening the future of our planet, may have caused the, may have enhanced the viciousness of the hurricanes that we saw, particularly visiting the United States this past year, Katrina, Wilma, and Rita. And he still cannot get his arms around global warming and acknowledge that the United States should take a leadership position on that. He has these lofty goals of being the nation that really fosters freedom around the world. But what freedom is there if our climate is causing extreme weather events and could lead to dramatic changes, most of which are not positive unless you want to open a Club Med on the North Pole? One other comment, and then we'll go back to your calls. This line really, really got me up out of my chair. And what I noticed in the speech last night and in previous speeches by this president is he likes to use rhetorical couplets of often unrelated issues, and they leave you a little stunned. And here's the best example from the speech last night. Yet many Americans, especially parents, still have deep concerns about the direction our culture and the health of our most basic institutions. They are concerned about unethical conduct by public officials. Okay. And then the next part here, the second part of the couplet, and discouraged by activist courts that try to redefine marriage. Now, what the hell is he talking about? And what is the connection between corrupt officials in Washington and activist judges who support individual rights for people who don't happen to be heterosexual? Well, I think that it's insidious, but I think it's important to point out that that type of speechmaking has been very effective for this president. It's those kind of rhetorical couplets that he used to link 9/11 with Saddam, even though there was no connection. And then he can go back and say, well, I never explicitly said that, you know, I mean, people heard what I said, but it wasn't what I said. You know what I mean. Chris and Salinas, thanks for holding. You're next on the PBC show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment. Well, two comments if I can. But
sure.
The first one was about the health care. And I just feel that, you know, since Uncle Ronnie deregulated health care and it became a for-profit entity, that's when all the trouble started. And I just don't hear anybody talking about returning it back to a non-profit entity, and it would solve a lot of problems, and then from there we can go into whatever else needs to be prepared.
Well, Chris, I will only say on my own behalf that I talk about it whenever healthcare comes up, that I believe this flirtation with the free market, and it's not free market, but the veneer of market forces controlling our healthcare system is a total failure. And you're correct. You have enough sense of history that this started during the Reagan administration. And I give Hillary Rodham Clinton some credit. I thought that it was wrong to put her in charge of the health care task force. Politically, it was a mistake. The way she did it, kind of Dick Cheney style, with secret meetings at the White House, was a blunder. Coming up with a 1,200-page legislative proposal was way too much. And then she presented a rich target for the insurance and health care industries to attack with their folksy little ads and the claim that she was trying to socialize one-eighth of the American economy. That said, what she did put fear into the corporate interests that control health care, insurance, and delivery in this country. And from 1992 to 1999, we had a much lower rate of increase in the costs of health care delivery and the insurance that that covers it. And it was only as Monica came along and the final days of the Clinton administration started to take shape that the costs started to escalate once again, and that escalation has not slowed down while Bush has been president.
Yeah, if we just hear more from the Democrats that, you know, health care isn't meant, in my view, isn't meant to be something that you put a price, you know, I mean, you're not going to look at people's health and look at the bottom line. I mean, it's just unethical, you know. I just can't see how you can put someone's life in the balance of, you know, the bottom line profit.
Well, Chris, let's agree on one thing, that if you and I have employer-paid health care that is essentially a blank check, we might occasionally abuse that. We might get an extra prescription. We might have a doctor visit when we don't really need it. But that pales in comparison to the gross kinds of fraud and theft that have occurred in the healthcare industry at our expense. And when Bush tries to frame it, you know, and that you know, medical savings accounts, health savings accounts, will give people more of a stake in their own healthcare, well, that's way off base because it doesn't really give you the kind of control that one would need so that individually we would start to rein in any kind of unnecessary spending on health care. And then you look at the way the pharmaceutical industry has spent roughly $25 billion over the last 6 years on advertising to consumers about drugs that they have to go to a doctor and ask for. All right? And whether it's Viagra or necessary products that relate to cholesterol reduction, reduction of the threat of heart attacks, you know, there are a lot of good medications out there that are advertised. But also, if you look at Viagra just as one example, that is a recreational drug in most cases.
Yes.
And you know, it's covered by some healthcare plans that don't cover contraceptive pills for women. And it is, to me, an example of the runaway costs in healthcare where spending has been directed enhanced or manipulated by the advertising by the drug industry. And, of course, that never gets addressed. But it is one of the serious areas where costs have escalated because the cost of patented, non-generic prescription drugs have increased so quickly over the last few years.
Yeah, it all comes down to profit.
Yes, but, it does.
Can I say one thing about the ethanol? He keeps pushing ethanol. And unfortunately, ethanol and alcohol have the lower BTU, so it takes a lot more alcohol to produce the same amount of energy. Plus, it produces more NOx, and that in turn mixes with the hydrocarbons, and that causes the ground level ozone problem. So we're not fixing anything with ethanol, and people really have to look into that problem.
Well, you know, First of all, there's a huge ethanol lobby in the red states of the Midwest and the Great Plains. Secondly, there's an itty-bitty company called Archer Daniels Midland that loves to greenwash its image with sponsorship of public television programs and other things. And they are the you know, largest company in the ethanol business. At least that's what I'm aware of. Maybe there is somebody bigger. But they're a major player with a lot of juice in Washington. And when I heard that in the speech last night, my first reaction was, well, there's a plug for Archer Daniels Midland and for the lobbyists who represent them. There was also a curious inclusion where he said, I'm quoting here, "We will also fund additional research in cutting-edge methods of producing ethanol, not just from corn, but from wood chips, stalks, or switchgrass."
Switchgrass.
Now, do you think he learned about that while he was clearing brush down on a ranch in Crawford? You think he got a switchgrass problem and he going to sell it and turn it into ethanol?
Well, there's plenty of it in Kansas. You take it easy, huh?
Thanks, Chris.
And take it...
544, more of your calls right after this break. Grab a line if you like, 831-899-5792. Local call on the coast, North Coast, or anywhere else, toll free at 888-579-2540. Oh, that switchgrass, got to get rid of it. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
This is it. This is the world we live in. What are we going to do about it? It's time to stop picking parasites off your friend's hairy back and become an engaged cerebral citizen. Yes, there is more to American youth culture than McDonald's, malls, MySpace, and corporate monopolies. We have got to do better than the current apes that are in the process of turning this country into a banana republic. But we need your help. Call in, tell your friends, and listen to The Naked Ape, Sundays on KRXA.
Listen live, Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. 546 now. Here's Amy Knight.
Well, my Vogue, a new accident. Soquel Drive at Stanley Avenue. Two cars involved in CHP. It's on the way to take a report. And much better news, southbound one at Fremont in Seaside. That earlier injury accident involving an overturned car completely cleared and traffic now back to normal on Highway 1. So there's some good news for you through Seaside and Sand City. 68 looking good between Monterey and Salinas, and no new problems to report on 101 through Prunedale as you make your way up toward Gilroy. This report brought to you by NBC. In Torino, it's 26 degrees. That's downright Nordic. The 2006 Torino Olympic Winter Games beginning February 10th at 8 p.m. only on NBC. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. You take the rest of the night off. We'll
okay,
talk to you tomorrow. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast. And I'm glad you're listening.
The present situation is abstract. Listen. Listen. I'm working 40 hours, 6 long days,
and I'm highly embarrassed every time I get my pay. And they're working everybody, Lord, they're working poor folks to death. And when you pay your rent and your car note, you ain't got a damn thing left. Ain't that a bitch?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is. Somebody doing something sick. Yeah, they are. Got me wondering which is which. Might as well go up down the aisle, dig a ditch. Ain't that a bitch?
That's the late blues man, Johnny Guitar Watson, and I trotted him out just to remind you that there was almost nothing in the President's State of the Union message related to the average working stiff in America, the person who often has to use a payday loan center just to have enough cash to get through the month and then pays outrageous interest rates, the people who don't have health care, 46 million now and climbing, no mention. And say what you will about Bill Clinton, and I'm critical of him on many issues, but you never heard him give a State of the Union message where he didn't offer some empathy and some plan for working people in America. And in Bush's America, we're all CEOs, we're all millionaires or billionaires, and everything's rosy. Sherry in West Haven, thank you for holding on. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Thanks for being there for us.
Well, it's what I love to do.
Frustrations.
It's cheaper than therapy.
Thinking about the State of the Union, my first thought was, boy, we had somebody give a speech that doesn't have a clue.
Yeah.
First of all, I mean, they really need somebody else to give the speech about the State of the Union because he doesn't know. So I'll do that just as an average person here of what I think the State of the Union is.
Go.
The first word that comes to my mind is shameful.
Yeah.
Shame, shame, shame. I think we're just, morality-wise, we're at an all-time low from where we have ever been.
Well, but your definition of morality is off. I can just tell, Sherry. You're one of those liberals who thinks morality has to do with big issues like a war based on lies, instead of that personal morality where I tell you that you can't have an abortion because I am morally superior to you.
Right, right. That is a problem, that we really have people that think really almost like two different ways in this country, that
yeah.
One can't communicate with the other. But I can't see how everybody wouldn't agree that it is immoral to take money away from the disabled people of this country, which we're doing from the Medicaid cuts.
Yep.
I mean, is there anybody that's going to call back and say, no, that's not immoral? You know, people that need the very most help is who we're robbing the money from to give to the rich people?
Yeah.
Shame, shame, shame.
Well, and also, I mean, the president is rarely called to establish or prove that his tax cuts have benefited the economy the way he says. And you know, I'm not always opposed to tax cuts. There are times when we go into a recession that tax cuts can be very helpful in stimulating the economy, even if they're deficit-based. But that's not his point. He used that as an artificial argument back in 2001, but now he just, touts tax cuts as a symbol of personal freedom and the sense that government is bad, and therefore we have to starve it.
And the other thing is that I hope that you do have a lot more conservative people out there listening to you, which you did have one call in, and that's a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good sign. Because,
well, he found the WMD, and I'm really damn proud of it.
I would like to tell all those people listening out there that are thinking the other way and are listening, turn off your TVs and do your homework and just try to find out the truth. The truth. Because I think if you really do your homework, you're going to find out what we all already know is the truth. But he's talking about, talking to all of you, what are we defending in Iraq? According to Bush, we're defending our freedom, right? Well, our freedoms in this country, I think most of us would agree, were the freedom of speech, was always been a big one, freedom of dissent. And for somebody even to just get stopped because they're wearing a T-shirt that says something is unbelievable to me.
Yeah. No, you know, I mean,
they weren't even yelling or doing anything. You are not allowed to say anything in this country. You're to shut up. You're to clap and smile at the president, which I saw most of the Democrats doing, too. So shame on them as well for not having any passion and standing up and saying, you know, or fighting back.
Well, you know, there were a lot of people who held noisy protests during the State of the Union message, and they certainly have the right to do that. There are many who also urged members to get up and walk out. But I don't really consider that terribly productive. And I do understand the game that politicians play. Some of it is hard to watch when you see him playing kissy face and, you know, cozying up to the president after he just delivered devastating remarks. But, you know, on the margins, there was, of course, the applause line when he acknowledged that they had rejected his Social Security initiative. And there was a stony silence from the Democratic side when he talked about extending the Patriot Act. So we got to take our positives where we can get them. But on the whole, Sherry, I can't disagree with you. Thanks for your call today. Let's jump to Susan in Santa Cruz. Hi, Susan. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Doing okay.
Good. Well, I didn't watch the speech, and I don't think $1 million would have made me watch that speech. I am really sick of looking at him and of all the ripping apart that goes on and the anger that will go on inside of myself if I keep looking that way. So really where I'm at today is kind of looking at, you know, I'm kind of taking a break and looking at, you know, what can we do in a different way without the motivation of anger, and maybe that's the only way we can motivate, I don't know. You know, and where can we go in positive directions? What can we do? What information can we give to each other? What strategies can we create?
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of where I am. So I'm taking a break from the criticisms because I don't think they're getting me anywhere anyway.
Okay.
And the other thing I want to do is...
Hold on, Susan. Yeah. Let me comment on what you just said.
Okay.
I think that we need to pursue both tracks.
Okay.
And I don't believe that every one of us has to load up on all of the you know, the bad news and the bad spin and the propaganda that Bush pumps out.
Right.
I think you owe it to yourself to, you know, pay general attention so you know where the threats are
right.
to your own liberty and future. On the other hand, I support your desire to create positive alternatives, to try to build movements that are positive in nature. But we have to recognize that we're under assault here, and that despite his call for civility, which is so phony, they want to eviscerate their political opponents and the disease that they call liberalism.
I agree
and
with you.
We
totally.
cannot simply move into ideal mode and bury our heads and say, well, you know, I don't really want to fight him because then I'd have to be mean.
I get really annoyed at Sam because I really feel like he kind of goes in that, you know, kind of he doesn't go past the barriers
mm-hmm.
in his own mind. But I want to say this. The thing I want to contribute today to the show, because I love you and I'm so glad you're there. And, you know, so I'll be listening. But I
appreciate the love,
Susan. You can listen to the speeches for me.
Yeah,
I
even watch
quickly.
Fox, but I won't do it every night. Thanks a lot. Marie in Monterey, you're next. Hello, Marie.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine, thanks.
I just had a little question about, you know, he did mention that he wanted to find other ways with oil.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's actually something, you know, we need to do in this country because... You know, we're all driving more cars. We don't want to be, you know, on the other hand, getting oil from the Arab countries. And I think that was actually a very good idea. And
well,
I'm just wondering why you haven't mentioned that.
Marie, it's
That's
one of those...
Something that,
Marie,
uh-huh.
It's one of those bromides that sounds good on the face of it, and it's great that he admitted that we're addicted to foreign oil. But his proposed solutions don't even include the very obvious, practical, and immediate things like raising the vehicle mileage requirements on cars sold in the United States. And so he's not really willing to do anything that would require sacrifice from the oil industry. So
but what
I consider
about sacrifice from the American public who decide to drive larger cars? They don't want to give up their look at the people I've been seeing here in this area alone in Monterey.
Mm-hmm.
I've been seeing more of those Hummers. and more SUVs, and not enough people. We're in a time of war right now. If you go back to all the wars we've had in history, mm-hmm. most of the American public had a sacrifice. I'd like you to mention what sacrifices, other than our men of this country, are our people willing to do, other than complain? And
okay.
also the newspapers.
Marie?
At what point are we
hey,
becoming
Marie,
traitors?
Hold on in your rant.
Huh?
I agree with you. I think your point about sacrifice is right on target. I guess you're just going to keep talking. Okay. Well, thank you for your call. I understand what you meant. Read the fine print of what Bush says when it comes to reducing our energy dependence, and you'll see what I mean. This is Peter B. Collins. I'll be back at you tomorrow, 3 to 6. Thanks for listening.
Happy trails to you.
Are you having a problem making your home loan payments? Do you have equity to protect? At your wit's end, trying to figure out how you'll be able to keep your home? Would you like to speak to a highly qualified loan agent who does not charge for advice? Hi, I'm John Sullivan of Executive Financial Services in Salinas. We can advise you about negotiating with your lender, and believe me, most lenders would rather negotiate with you than own your home. We can advise you about the foreclosure process and bankruptcy filings. If you need us, you can call us 7 days a week between 10 and 7 at 443-7277. We personally answer the phone and don't pre-screen our calls. We're here to give you advice. We can give you your options 5 minutes after reviewing your credit report. We might be able to help you. We might not be able to help you. But if you never call us, you'll never know. That's 443-7277 for a 5-minute solution. Executive Financial Services at 443-7277.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Maliano.
West Virginia remains committed to putting the safety of every one of our miners first and foremost.
West Virginia Governor Joe Manchin, as he calls on every coal mine in the state to stand down pending a safety review, a call echoed by the Labor Department at the national level. CBS News reporter Jim Crisula says this evening's stand down comes after two more coal mine deaths today alone.
With today's two miner deaths in West Virginia, there have now been four fatal mining accidents in the state in the past month. A total of 16 workers have died in these four incidents. And that is why Governor Joe Manchin has called on all coal companies to cease production until safety checks can be conducted. Of course, the big question is, how long is that going to take, and how long will production be disrupted?
The circle of death in Southern California has widened. Santa Barbara County Sheriff Jim Anderson confirms a woman found shot to death at a Goleta condominium was the first victim of a suicidal rampage at a nearby mail sorting facility.
She was clearly the victim of a homicide and had sustained a gunshot wound to the head.
Anderson says neighbors reported gunfire an hour before the postal shooting Monday night.
Preliminary forensics investigation showed that shell casings found matched those found at the postal distribution center.
Jennifer San Marcos shot herself in the head at the mail facility she once worked at after shooting and fatally wounding six employees. President Bush hit the road today, first stopping in Nashville, giving his State of the Union address a public showing.
We have the duty to protect the American people. And so our strategy is to never give in.
And picking up on his criticism last evening about the U.S. being addicted to foreign oil, in an AP interview, President Bush said he thinks within his lifetime, new technology will cut or end U.S. dependence on Middle East oil. The International Atomic Energy Agency is releasing the results of its months-long investigation into Iran's nuclear program tomorrow. CBS News correspondent Sheila McVicker has gotten an advanced look and says it gives some indication why President Bush has been taking such a hard line against Iran.
The report makes a link between Iran's nuclear energy program and work on weapons design. Sources tell